Hello and welcome back to our deep dive. It is Thursday, February 5th, 2026.
Right.
And if you follow tech, you know that February is, well, it's usually the quiet month.
It's the dead zone. We're all recovering from CES, waiting for spring launches.
Exactly. It's when nothing happens. But not today.
Not today.
I hope you're sitting down because Apple just released the developer beta for iOS 26.3. And calling it a software update is, I mean, it feels like a massive understatement.
It feels like they dropped a bomb on the entire digital economy.
The bomb, yeah.
We've been going through the developer docs, the early reactions, and the sources are painting a picture of just, well, absolute chaos.
And there's a nickname for it, right?
Yeah, internally at Apple Park, the engineers are apparently calling this feature the silencer.
The silencer. I mean, come on.
I know.
That sounds like something out of a Jason Bourne movie.
It fits the vibe, though. Officially, in the settings menu, it's just called anti-tracking 2.0.
A little boring.
Very boring. A silencer is way more accurate for what this tech is actually doing.
Okay, so we need to frame this for everyone. Because we all remember iOS 14.5, right?
Back in 2021, the app tracking transparency pop-up.
That little pop-up, the one that just said, hey, you want to let Facebook track you?
Right. Polite request.
And that polite request cost Meta something like $10 billion in a single year.
It did. It completely reorganized the internet's business model.
So if that was Apple asking nicely, what on earth is this?
This is not a request. It's an active hunt. The sources we're looking at describe it as digital counter-espionage.
Whoa.
Yeah, we're not just blocking trackers anymore. We're actively engaging and, you know, deceiving them.
And the industry is not happy.
Oh, they're furious. The Interactive Advertising Bureau, the IAB, called it a draconian overreach.
Draconian. They're not mincing words.
They are terrified. And when you see the tech, you'll understand why.
Okay, so we have a lot to unpack.
We do. I think we should break it down into three parts. First, the tech itself, this neural shield AI. Then there's a feature called ghost mode, which is just as cool as it sounds.
Love that name.
And finally, the fallout. Why people are calling this Adpocalypse 2.0 and what it actually means for, you know, a free internet.
Plus, you mentioned some hardware stats from Tech in Game Labs about battery life.
Oh, yeah. The performance benefits are, honestly, they're hard to believe.
Okay, let's start with the tech then. Neural Shield. It's all over the developer notes. What is actually happening inside that A19 Pro chip?
So, to get why the Neural Shield is such a big deal, you have to remember how old ad blockers work.
The ones we've all used for years.
Right? They're binary. They just have a big list of bad domains.
Like gobbleclick.net or something from Facebook.
Exactly. And when your phone tries to connect, the blocker just cuts the line. It says no.
Which works.
Yeah.
But I've definitely had websites where, like, the login button vanishes or the shopping cart breaks.
Precisely. Blocking is a blunt instrument. It just leaves a hole in the website. The Neural Shield. It changes the whole game. It uses a technique they call obfuscation by noise.
Obfuscation by noise. Okay, break that down for us.
So instead of blocking the connection, the iPhone, it lets the tracker connect. It lets it ask for your data.
So everything looks normal to the website.
Everything looks perfectly normal. But then the neural engine on the chip intercepts that request and it just generates, well, garbage data, synthetic data.
Ah, so it's not silence. It's noise. It's jamming the signal.
That is a perfect analogy. The source material had this hilarious example. Let's say you're a 30-year-old looking for a new espresso machine.
Okay, pretty specific.
A tracker pings your phone to build a profile on you, right? So it can sell you coffee ads. The Neural Shield intercepts that. It looks at the tracker and says, sure, here's the user profile.
All right.
But it tells the tracker that you're a 75-year-old pensioner who's really into knitting.
I love that. So the tracker leaves happy. It thinks it got what it wanted.
It goes back to its server and says, hey, I found a knitting enthusiast, but the data is total poison.
Poisoning the well. I saw that phrase in the notes.
That's the term. And it's devastating for them. See, if you just block data, the advertiser knows they have a blind spot. They can try to work around it.
Right.
But if you flood their database with billions of fake data points, you're not just hiding the user. You are destroying the statistical reliability of their entire data set.
You're crashing their algorithm.
Yeah.
Because now they're wasting money showing yarn ads to some guy who just wants coffee.
Exactly. You make the profile voiceless, and this weaponized ambiguity, it doesn't stop there.
Which brings us to ghost mode.
Okay, so this is the toggle you can flip in the new privacy center.
Right.
I'm guessing that this is where it gets even more spy versus spy. What happens when I turn on ghost mode?
So ghost mode tackles two of the trickiest problems in privacy, location and fingerprinting.
Let's start with location. I feel like every app wants my location. Flashlight apps, calculators.
Oh yeah, constantly. And you usually have to say yes or the app just won't run.
With ghost mode, the phone engages what they call geospoofing. The app asks for your GPS coordinates. The iPhone says, sure, here you go. But it provides a randomized coordinate within a 5-mile radius of where you actually are.
So if I'm on my couch, the app might think I'm at the grocery store a few miles away.
Or a park or a gas station. Yeah, you're somewhere in the area. But yeah, they can't pin you to 123 Main Street every night.
That's so smart. It keeps the utility. It can still get a local weather forecast.
Yeah.
But it kills the surveillance.
Exactly. But the second part is maybe even more important. Device fingerprinting.
I feel like people hear this term, but don't really get what it is. It's not cookies, right?
Not even close. You can delete cookies. Fingerprinting is way more insidious. It's when a website looks at the unique combination of your hardware.
Like what?
Your screen resolution, your exact battery percentage, the list of fonts you have installed, your time zone.
And that combination is unique enough to identify me.
It's mathematically almost as unique as a thumbprint. Even if you block cookies, if you show up with 42% battery and a certain screen brightness, they know it's you.
That is terrifying.
Yeah.
How does ghost mode stop that? You can't change your screen.
No, but you can lie about it. Ghost mode standardizes the report. When a website asks for your device stats, the neural shield just reports a generic vanilla profile.
It puts on a mask.
A digital mask. It basically tells the website, I am a generic iPhone with 100% battery and standard settings.
So if millions of us turn this on,
everyone looks identical. Digitally, we all become Spartacus. You can't single anyone out.
Safety in numbers. I love this. But, and I hate to be the one to bring this up, This has to be devastating for the companies that rely on this data.
It is. And that's where we shift from the cool tech to the harsh economic reality.
Adpocalypse 2.0.
That's what they're calling it. The IAB's statement about threatening the free internet came out almost immediately.
And the markets reacted. Google, Meta, their shares dipped about 4% in pre-market trading.
Wait, did.
So explain that connection for us. Why does my phone lying about my battery level threaten the free internet?
It's the whole business model of the web, right? For 20 years, the deal has been you get free content, and in exchange, you see ads.
Targeted ads.
Targeted ads. That's the key.
Yeah.
A company selling, I don't know, high-end dog food will pay a premium to show an ad to a known dog owner.
But they won't pay much to show it to our 75-year-old knitter.
Exactly. The value is in the targeting. So if Apple poisons the well and the dog food company can no longer find the dog owners, they stop paying high prices.
And the revenue for the websites, it crashes.
It collapses. The analysis from the ad tech world is that publishers, the people writing the news, making the videos, they just can't afford to stay in business.
So the argument is kill the tracking and you kill the funding for the content.
And what's the alternative then?
Paywalls.
Paywalls.
Subscriptions.
One CEO was quoted saying, Apple is killing the open web to sell more subscriptions.
Which is a cynical take, but
it's a valid point. If everything becomes a subscription, who benefits?
Apple. They get a cut of every single one sold through the App Store.
Right. So you have this huge tension, user privacy, which is good, versus the economics of a free and open web. Is this a freedom move or is it an anti-competitive move?
And it's complicated because as a user, I want the privacy, but I also don't want to pay $5 a month for every blog I read.
That's the dilemma. We've been paying with our data. Apple just hit the stop payment button, and we haven't figured out who pays the bill now.
There was also something in the notes about Apple's own ad network.
Yes, and this is where the anti-competitive argument gets some real teeth. Critics are pointing out that Apple's own ad services,
like in the App Store or Apple News.
Exactly. They are allegedly exempt from some of these silencer restrictions.
Wait, really? So they blind the competition, but their own ads still work?
Apple, of course, denies this creates an unfair advantage. They say they hold themselves to the same standards, but the optics, they're tricky.
Yeah, if you're the only one who can see in the dark, you're going to win.
It's never just one thing, is it? It's never purely about privacy.
Okay, let's pivot back to the user experience for a second, because the economics are a bit abstract, but the performance of my phone is very real.
This was the biggest surprise for me in the reports. The tests from Tech and Game Labs on an iPhone 16 Pro Max.
The battery stats are wild. A 22% improvement.
22%. That's massive. That's hours more screen on time.
How does that even work? Shouldn't running this extra AI process use more battery?
It seems counterintuitive, but think about what it's preventing. When you load a news article, you're not just loading text and images. You're loading dozens, sometimes hundreds, of background scripts.
Trackers, beacons, analytics.
Lord, all of it, real-time bidding bots. That all takes code to run. Your processor is constantly working. The radio is constantly on.
So the background noise of the internet is literally draining my battery.
A lot. It burns a ton of energy. By silencing those scripts, the processor is just doing less work. The silencer uses less power than the trackers it's silencing.
That's an amazing selling point. Privacy that saves your battery.
And they also saw a 15% drop in data usage. And get this, websites loaded 2 times faster.
2 times.
Turns out when you strip away all the surveillance machinery, the internet is actually pretty quick.
The report called the experience eerily quiet. I like that.
It is. But we have to be honest, it's not perfect. This is a beta. It breaks things.
Right, the banking apps.
Yeah.
And Uber and Lyft had problems.
Yeah, think about it from their side. A banking app needs to verify your device to make sure you're not a hacker.
But Ghost Mode is telling it you're a generic phone.
So the bank's security system freaks out. It thinks it's under attack and locks you out.
That's a huge problem if you're trying to catch a ride home.
A major friction point. So Apple created a trust list. You have to manually go in and whitelist your essential apps.
So you tell your phone, okay, lie to everyone except my bank and Uber.
It's a trade-off. You have to accept a little bit of friction to get that invisibility.
Okay, so stepping back, big picture, we have this incredible tech, a terrified ad industry, and a faster user experience that needs some tinkering. Where is this all going?
I think we're seeing the beginning of what some are calling a bifurcated web.
A split internet.
Yeah. The analysis suggests we're heading for a world with a side A and a side B. Side A is the premium private web.
For Apple users.
For Apple users. It's fast, it's clean, it's quiet.
And side B.
Side B is the ad-tracked web for everyone else. Android, desktop Chrome. The theory is that advertisers, having lost access to Apple users, will have to squeeze even more data and revenue out of everybody else.
So the experience on Android and other platforms actually gets worse.
More ads, more aggressive tracking, probably.
It's a really stark divide.
It changes that whole walled garden metaphor for Apple. For years, the wall was seen as a prison, keeping users in.
Right, you couldn't leave, you had the blue bubbles.
But with this, for the first time, it feels like the wall isn't there to keep the users in. It's there to keep the monsters out.
The walled garden becomes a fortress.
It does. And it's a very comfortable fortress, but it raises a huge question about inequality.
How so?
If real privacy requires an A19 Pro chip, if you need a $1,200 phone to run this, then privacy becomes a luxury product.
Privacy inequality.
Exactly. Are we heading for an era where the wealthy get a clean, fast, private internet and everyone else gets surveillance and slow load times?
That is a really haunting thought. It's a digital class divide.
It is.
Well, for those who have the hardware and want to pull up the drawbridge, how do they turn it on?
It's a developer beta, so, you know, proceed with caution. But you go to settings, then privacy and security.
Got it.
Then you tap on the new menu, tracking prevention. From there, you can choose strict or custom, and that's where you find the toggle for ghost mode.
And just like that, you vanish.
Just remember to whitelist your bank first.
A good tip.
Yeah.
Don't lock yourself out of your own life.
Wow.
This has been huge. I mean, iOS 26.3 is giving digital agency back to the user.
It is. The tech proves we don't have to be tracked. We have the shield now. The big question is, what happens to the world outside the shield?
A question we'll be asking for years. Well, we'll let you go update your phones, or at least stare at them suspiciously. Thanks for joining this deep dive.
Stay safe out there.
See you next time.